Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Dr. Fauci feels liberated. Dr. Fauci was just giving a press conference because now, you know, he worked for Reagan, then he worked for Bush, then Clinton, then Bush, then Obama, then Trump. Now he's working for Joe Biden. Presidents come and go. Dr. Fauci remains. And he was asked about the differences in working for Biden and working for Trump. He couldn't be happier.
You've joked a couple times today already about the difference in that you feel in being kind of the spokesperson for this issue in this administration versus the previous one. Can you talk a little bit about how you feel kind of released from what you had been doing for the last year?
Yeah, but you said I was joking about it. I was very serious about it. I wasn't joking. No, actually, obviously, I don't want to be going back, you know, over history, but it was very clear that there were things that were said, be it regarding things like hydroxychloroquine and other things like that, that really was uncomfortable because they were not based on scientific fact. I can tell you, I take no pleasure at all in being in a situation of contradicting the president. So it was really something that you didn't feel that you could actually say something and there wouldn't be any repercussions about it. The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it. Let the science speak. It is somewhat of a liberating feeling.
It's a liberating feeling. And as Dr. Fauci feels more and more liberated, as Dr. Fauci has more and more liberty, our liberties seem to shrink, seem to decay, seem almost to disappear. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. My favorite comment from yesterday is from Alex Morris, who says, if a conservative speaks in a forest and no one is around to hear them, censor them anyway. That's true. This is the new opinion of the left. It used to be if conservatives are around Twitter, if they're around YouTube, if they're around your platform with lots of liberals on it, then you should censor them. But ever since they booted Parler from the internet, it says, yeah, send conservatives out into the middle of nowhere and then censor them anyway. Well, we're going to have a whole lot more of that coming. And I know it makes people feel uncomfortable. If you want to feel really comfortable, you got to check out Buttercloth. Buttercloth is the most comfortable dress shirt you will ever wear. That is not hyperbole in any way. I didn't believe it until I tried it. You're not going to believe it until you try it, and you have to try it. Buttercloth is not stiff and scratchy at all, like typical men's dress shirts. It feels like you are wearing your favorite softest t-shirt. It almost feels like you're wearing pajamas, but it looks really sleek like a dress shirt. There's this revolutionary fabric with long fiber cotton and six-way stretch. I figured it was some crazy synthetic thing. It's not. It's just really, really amazing cotton. It's breathable, keeps you warm in winter and cool in summer. They even have one shirt where it's got little mint fibers in it, so you put it on, even after you've worn it many, many times, and it cools your skin down. It's unbelievable. They got the attention of ABC's hit show Shark Tank. They got $250,000 investment in it, and they should have gotten a bigger investment, frankly. You should invest in Buttercloth. They're offering right now 20% off your first purchase to our listeners. Go to buttercloth.com/Knowles. Receive 20% off your first full price order. That is buttercloth.com/Knowles. K-N-O-W-L-E-S. You know how much I love Buttercloth. Really, really tremendous clothing. Dr. Fauci feels so liberated that he can finally discuss the science without having to say things that are not based in scientific fact. Like, for instance, you remember at the start of the pandemic when Dr. Fauci came out and said, do not wear masks. Masks don't work. Masks will not stop the spread of a virus. Maybe they'll sort of make you feel good, but they won't actually do anything to stop the spread. You remember when he said that? And then weeks later, completely contradicted himself and said, now you have to wear masks. You should wear masks all the time. And then you remember weeks after that, as he was still discussing how much you have to wear masks, and he even wore a mask in the middle of an empty baseball stadium right on there, and he tried to dribble a pitch to the catcher. Then he went back to his seat. What did he do? Sitting right next to his friends, takes his mask off. You remember that? I'm so glad that now he doesn't feel that he has to contradict scientific fact. And when he was asked about this, by the way, do you know what his excuse was? This blatant contradiction? He said, well, look, at the time I said don't wear masks, we wanted to save the masks for the healthcare workers. So we didn't want all the plebs buying it. You know, we didn't want all you proles buying up all the masks. Then the important elites can't get them. So, yeah, I lied to you. I told you you shouldn't wear the masks at all. And then when we found out we had enough masks for the healthcare workers, I told you something different. But you should believe me now. Even though I'm telling you at this very second that I lied to you at the start of the pandemic, believe me now, scientific fact. What was missed, I think, by a lot of people in that admission that Fauci made regarding the healthcare workers and the reason why he discouraged the masks and encouraged the masks, and the reason why he's actually said this even on possible death rates or survival rates, all these sorts of things. He said he was hoping that if he gave out a certain number that could maybe push the conversation in another direction. He's not just reading the scientific data such as it is. He's an activist. He's trying to push society in one direction or the other. Fair enough. That's part of his job as a social scientist. But that's not science in the way that we're talking about it, right? In the way that Fauci's joking about it at the press briefing, he's saying, I'm just about the facts. I don't have a political ideology. No, you do. You do. If you're saying that you're going to lie to the public so that certain people can get something and certain people won't buy it all up, that's a political consideration. And that's what all of this is about. Fauci's liberation is a liberation for the technocracy. Fauci's liberation is a liberation for the blob, the unaccountable bureaucrats who we do not elect, who presidents come and go and they stay there forever. And they really are liberated under Biden because Biden is nobody. Biden is absolutely nothing. If you unbuttoned his suit jacket and unbuttoned his shirt, you could stick your hand all the way through. There's nothing but air in there. He is nothing but a vessel for that blob, for that liberal establishment, most of which is beyond the scope of democratic politics, most of which is the major multinational corporate interest, much of which is the big technology interest that controls the flow of information in the public square, most of which is the administrative state that has very little connection to democratic politics. That is a liberation. But that liberation is directly contrary to our liberties, the liberties that we the people have enjoyed and enjoy less and less with each passing breath that Dr. Fauci takes to regurgitate his ridiculous edicts in public. The greatest regret, I would say, that I have from the Trump administration is that Trump did not get out there on day three and fire Fauci and banish him to a far-off island. He is a power-mad liar. He is so deceitful. He is utterly ignorant of political philosophy. He's very good at practical politics, but he's either ignorant or intentionally deceitful about the nature of the American constitutional order and political philosophy, and he's a great danger to the country. And now that dude is liberated. One thing he's very happy to announce, Dr. Fauci, is that the United States is going to be rejoining the World Health Organization. You remember the U.S. pulled out of the WHO because the WHO is a puppet organization for the Chinese Communist Party, and the WHO permitted China to have this virus fester in their country. They totally carried water for China. They totally lobbied for Chinese interests, even as the virus was beginning to spread. And the head of the WHO was picked by the CCP. And Dr. Fauci, so pleased to announce, now that that mean old Trump is gone, now we're getting back to business as usual for the liberal blob. We're going to rejoin the WHO.
I am honored to announce that the United States will remain a member of the World Health Organization. Yesterday, President Biden signed the letters retracting the previous administration's announcement to withdraw from the organization. And those letters have been transmitted to the Secretary General of the United Nations and to you, Dr. Tedros, my dear friend. In addition to retracting the notification of withdrawal and retaining membership in the WHO, the United States will cease the drawdown of United States staff seconded to the WHO and will resume regular engagement of U.S. government personnel with the WHO both directly and through our WHO collaborating centers.
Dr. Tedros, my dear friend, Dr. Tedros. Dr. Tedros, who is the head of the WHO, was handpicked to lead that organization by the Chinese Communist Party as part of a broader Chinese strategy to take over these multinational, international institutions, many of which fall under the umbrella of the United Nations, which should be bulldozed and turned into the Donald Trump Presidential Library and Casino. Beautiful waterfront property. I think it would be a wonderful, wonderful way to celebrate the first term of Trump's presidency. He's a young man compared to Joe Biden. There's a lot of opportunity in the future. Tedros, WHO, many of these multinational institutions, not just the non-governmental ones, but the corporate ones too, fall under this liberal blob, and they are so happy. These guys are back in power. You want to see how creepy this is? There was a clip going around. Maybe you've heard about the conspiracy theory of the Great Reset, or, you know, the idea that a lot of liberal people are going to exploit the coronavirus issue to reset society, rework the economy, rework various political orders. It's a radical, crazy conspiracy. I have no idea where they would have gotten this idea from.
It's a very pertinent question to ask, how do we build back better?
To build back better or whatever.
We have a chance to reset the clock and build back better than before.
To build back better than before.
Remember the terrible damage of COVID as we try to build back from this global pandemic.
Joe Biden calls it build back better.
Build back better.
Building back better.
To do things differently. To build back better.
We're going to build it back better.
And build it back better.
In my plan to build back better.
Start taking all the problems that have been created in education, mental health, and start to build back in a positive way.
I have launched a booklet called Build Back Better, Britain After Coronavirus.
It's about building this country back better.
Growing conspiracy following it. It is called the Great Reset.
An unprecedented opportunity to rethink and reset the ways in which we live.
That clip could go on for several more minutes, okay? So I understand that some people get kooky with their theories about these kind of cabals of evil elites ruling the world. I don't think you need any kind of conspiracy theory. People in public, the liberal elite in public, are coming out and saying, yes, we're going to use this as an opportunity to rework the economy, to rework society, to rework the political order. There's no question about that. There's obviously cooperation going on, not just among the liberal blob in the United States, but around the world. Certainly a time where we want to feel safe and secure, not just in our persons, but in our personal data. That's why you got to check out LifeLock. A new tactic for stealing your credit card and personal information has recently been discovered. This new web skimming attack, or e-skimming, injects malicious code into a compromised e-commerce website's checkout process that pulls your order information to display it on a fake checkout page that steals your information. It is important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our information at risk on the internet. You could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit, which is why there's LifeLock. LifeLock is a leader in identity theft protection. It is so easy. I didn't used to think this either. I used to think, they're not going after my information. They are, and it's very easy to get. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. That is LifeLock.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. For 25% off. Use LifeLock. Do not go on the internet without LifeLock. This idea of building back better, this idea of, some people are calling it the Great Reset. I don't really use that term because it sounds conspiratorial and it sounds like secret and nefarious. It certainly is nefarious, but it's all out in public. You have plenty of these liberal elites, some of the elected politicians and many unelected people, describing this. And the way that one builds back better, or the way that one resets society, is not really done through democratic politics. In a way it is. Some of these people are elected. But mostly how this will be done is at the administrative level or at the corporate level, also beyond the realm of democratic accountability. When you put people out of work for 9 months, 10 months, it's more than that now, I guess. I guess we're coming up on a year, aren't we? When you put people out of work for that long, you make them much more vulnerable to these sort of plans. You gin up society. You encourage the sort of riots that we saw all year long. You clamp down on political rights. Now you can't go to church still in many places. You could always go buy a dime bag of pot in California. You could always go to those essential services, but you couldn't go to church. And the excuse for this was public health. Well, who runs the public health? It's this bureaucracy. It's this doctor dictatorship. It's Dr. Fauci liberated. And where do our liberties go with that liberation? Very, very creepy. There is one set of rules for the people. There is one set of rules for the liberal elite. We talked about this a lot yesterday. We mentioned yesterday how Joe Biden issued a mask mandate. He said, on federal lands, you must always wear a mask, no exceptions at all times. He then, hours later, goes to the Lincoln Memorial to participate in this ritual. He goes, brings his entire family. Well, not the grandchildren that he refuses to acknowledge, but he brought the family that he will acknowledge. He brings them to the Lincoln Memorial, and they're just cello playing, and it's all very beautiful. They're not wearing masks. None of them are wearing masks. Hours after he mandated that all the rest of us wear masks at these very places. Jen Psaki, the press secretary now for Biden, was asked a question about this yesterday. I said, you know, isn't that a kind of a mixed message that we're getting? We're told everyone has to wear masks, but then Biden and his entire family won't wear masks themselves. Psaki had a weak answer.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural
memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country. And certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
Oh, man. The first take that I have on this is not even having to do with the substance, which we'll get to in a second. My first take is this woman is really bad at her job. I know that the press are going to say she's wonderful and brave and stunning and glorious and everything. Kayleigh McEnany, whether you like her or not, you should like her. She's just tremendous. But even if you don't like her, you have to acknowledge she was very good at her job. She was very, very good. She was always so prepared. She had killer answers. She had mic drop moments. Sarah Sanders, incredibly good at her job. Okay? The Trump press secretaries did a great job. This woman fumbling around. Well, he didn't wear the mask because he wanted to send a message. Oh, he sent a message. Oh, honey, he sent a message. It wasn't the message that you seem to think he's sending. It wasn't the message that the masks are really important and we've all got to wear them. The message he sent was, there's going to be one set of rules for you, the peasants, and there's going to be one set of rules for me and my family. And that's been true for the Biden family for many years. If anybody did what the Biden family did in Ukraine, in China, selling political influence for millions and millions of dollars, they would be in orange jumpsuits. Not the Biden family. Not the liberal elite. Not the liberal establishment. Goes all the way down to the masks. Well, he wanted to send a message of how important, if he wanted to send the message of how important the masks are, he should wear the mask. We who are on the staff, we always wear the mask. You're not wearing a mask right now, are you, Jen Psaki? No, you're not. Because it doesn't matter, because no one believes, no one pushing the mask rules really believes that the masks do anything. There are some gullible people out there who think that the masks are very important to public health. But I promise you, Dr. Fauci doesn't think so. He told us he doesn't think so. And then in his own behavior, he's demonstrated he doesn't think so. Jen Psaki doesn't think so. She's not wearing the mask. The reporters who were in the press briefing room during the Trump administration don't think so. They'd have their masks on for show during the press conference. And when they thought the cameras were turned off, but sometimes they weren't turned off, the minute the lights go down, they take the mask off. They don't believe this. Joe Biden doesn't believe the masks matter. He doesn't wear one, even after he mandates that everyone else wear one on the exact spot where he's standing. He doesn't make his family wear one. None of these people believe it. The idea that anybody could watch the Biden family traipse around these federal lands without masks hours after he signs the mask mandate and still believe that the masks are anything but a political prop astounds me. It is all about a new hierarchy. It's all about a new caste system. It's all about one set of rules for thee and one set of rules for me. You're going to see this increase. There was a video yesterday posted by Biden to YouTube titled, President Biden Swears In Day One Presidential Appointees in a Virtual Ceremony. This was posted on January 20th, day he was inaugurated. The comments were turned off. Now, I think they've since been turned back on, and we've now learned why they were turned off in the first place. This thing was ratioed as can be. I think it got about 5,000 likes and 25,000 dislikes. Not a good ratio. And one does not even want to look at the comments. This is what you're going to see. We talked about it yesterday. In the name of democracy, we're going to see behavior that is very anti-democratic. We're going to see Fauci liberated. We're already seeing that happen. And it's a very ugly thing. The reason they do this is because they know that if they open up their agenda to democratic accountability, they'll lose. I'm going to put the election aside for a second. There are many questions that one may have about the election and elections moving forward. I'm going to put that aside for a second. If you put out there, if you said, I'll give an example that's very popular. If you said, hey, I want a referendum on whether or not to let grown men into the girls' changing room at the public pool. How do you think that would do at a fair open ballot? I think probably it would be like 90 to 10 against that measure, right? There's no way that would pass. And yet, the left, with their vessel, Joe Biden, are pushing for that. Actually, that specific example, they've already pushed for through an executive order. Joe Biden, this is one of his first acts as president. Don't tell me he's going to be moderate. He won't. He signs this order that reads in part, quote, every person should be treated with respect and dignity and should be able to live without fear, no matter who they are or whom they love. Blah, blah, blah. Obviously, just nothing, nothing, platitude, platitude. Give me the meat. What does this mean? Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports. Hold up. As far as I know, no child is told he can't use the bathroom, or he can't play sports, or he can't go to the locker room. I don't see any example of that anywhere in the country. Unless Joe Biden is using a euphemism here. Is he saying that it's not that children are denied access to play sports, it's that little boys are denied access to play girls' sports? That's what he's saying. Adults should be able to learn to earn a living and pursue a vocation, knowing that they will not be fired, demoted, or mistreated because of whom they go home to or because how they dress does not conform to sex-based stereotypes. People should be able to access health care and secure a roof over their heads without being subjected to sex discrimination. All persons should receive equal treatment under the law, no matter their gender identity or sexual orientation. And there it is. There it is. In one fell swoop, Joe Biden eliminated, through executive order, girls' sports. Girls' bathrooms, girls' changing rooms. This pervert, and you know, I've held off on calling him a pervert, even when we were all making fun of the hair sniffing and all that stuff. I held off. I felt it was kind of a cheap political shot. He's a backslapper, not a pervert. This executive order is perverted. It's sick. It's deranged. This sicko, on his first day in office, second day in office, makes it a top priority to let grown men into the little girl's changing room. Sick, sick stuff. Could only ever happen through executive order. You know, Joe Biden has been right a couple of times. I would say at most a couple of times. Broken clocks are right a couple of times a day. If you want a clock that works, though, you got to check out Vincero. These watches, they're super cool. They look fabulous, very, very stylish, a little more intricate maybe than some other watches on the market. They look tremendous, and the price is really, really, really reasonable. Finding a watch that is stylish, bold, and built to last can cost a pretty penny. Vincero watches are changing that. They believe that you deserve to look good no matter your budget. You deserve better than settling for something underwhelming. With the new year, they are now offering a 5-year warranty and a 365-day return policy. These are some of the best promises in the business. You're not going to want to return it. When you put it on, you will know that you got more than you paid for. This is the best value for your money, guaranteed. It's a little more of an intricate design. They look really, really good. They've got 20,000 five-star reviews. It's really high-quality stuff. This deal is too good to pass up. Get the year started right. Go to vincerowatches.com/Knowles to get 15% off auto-applied at checkout. If you use that link, do not pay full price on these beautiful timepieces. Head on over to vincerowatches.com/Knowles for 15% off right now. Go get them. I just ordered a new one. I just ordered the Bellwether. I think it looks super sleek and stylish. Go check out Vincero. Now that Biden is showing his radicalism, we are seeing pushback already with one congressman, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, filing articles of impeachment against Joe Biden already. He's 2 days into his presidency now. She's already filed articles of impeachment. I think it's absolutely hilarious. Here is her reasoning.
Just filed articles of impeachment on President Joe Biden. We'll see how this goes.
Now, I say that's her reasoning because that's basically all impeachment is going to mean from now on. I think the legal argument has something to do with the massive evidence of his corruption in China, which was suppressed by the big tech companies before the election, the Hunter Biden scandal. That was completely shut down. You couldn't even message the article because they wanted to throw the election for Joe Biden. And then only after it didn't matter anymore did they finally reopen that. There was a study that came out from the Media Research Center that I think it was something like 14% of Biden voters could have changed their vote had they known about that scandal. So that's, I guess, ostensibly the legal basis, but that's not really it. The basis for impeachment is purely political in this case, which is you're going to impeach my guy multiple times. Well, I'm going to impeach your guy. And that's probably the way politics is going to start working. They're still impeaching the previous president. So there will be a Senate impeachment trial for Donald Trump, who cannot be impeached because he's no longer in office. And I know that there are some people who think this is an open constitutional question. It's constitutionally absurd that the president can be convicted, impeached and convicted after he has left office. It cannot happen. And if it does happen, it's a constitutional absurdity and outrage. So now the Republicans are going to file impeachment against Biden. Fine by me. Totally fine by me. Why? Is it because I think impeachment should be used this way? No, I don't think impeachment should be used this way. I think there's a wrong way to use impeachment. But impeachment is used this way. And I don't think that we're going to restore a more dignified kind of politics by unilaterally disarming. I think that's what we've done for a very long time, and it didn't work out very well. We kind of tried this already. You know, Barack Obama committed impeachable offenses, notably in his IRS scandal. Fast and Furious would be another example, but the IRS was really bad. DOJ, he spied on his political rivals and tried to undermine their campaigns. If we're allowed to now impeach and convict presidents after they've left office, let's do that. Let's impeach Obama. But we tried, okay? I don't want to hear, this is what we're going to hear. They're going to say Republicans started all of this because in the 90s, they impeached Bill Clinton over some eccentric activities in the Oval Office, a private matter. Well, that's not true. He was impeached for perjury, but even putting that aside, okay, let's say the Clinton impeachment was ill-advised. Let's say it was political even. Okay. Or partisan, rather than having a legal basis. Fine. We did not impeach Barack Obama when we could have. John Boehner and Mitch McConnell refused to do it. Did that buy us goodwill? Did that restore us to a dignified kind of politics? No. They impeached Trump. They actually did exactly what Marjorie Taylor Greene did. Everyone remembers, well, the current impeachment, and they remember the impeachment a year ago. People forget the articles of impeachment filed in 2017. Representative Al Green. Interestingly, it was another Representative Green who first proposed impeaching Trump in 2017, right at the beginning of his presidency. Why? Well, Green's argument was, if we don't impeach Trump, he might get reelected. That's the argument for impeaching him now. They're saying if we don't impeach Trump and convict him in the Senate, he might run for office again and get reelected. Does that sound like people who think that they have the majority of Americans on their side? Does that sound like people who think that democracy is going to triumph for them? Does that sound like people who believe their views are really, really popular? I don't think so. I think it sounds like people who know that the only way that they're going to win is through chicanery, through irregularity. I'll leave it at that. You know, Mitch McConnell wants to delay this impeachment trial. Mitch McConnell, so the conviction already happened. Mitch McConnell wants to delay the impeachment until mid-February. So according to McConnell's timeline, the impeachment article would be read before the Senate on January 28th. Then Trump would have to respond by February 4th, even though he's out of office. Then he would have another week until February 11th at the latest to submit a pretrial brief. Then the House would be required to submit a pretrial brief by February 4th also. Then a rebuttal pretrial brief would happen February 13th. Then you get the impeachment trial. Very strange. Obviously, we've never been in a situation like this before. And even this whole idea of the impeachment, I mean, we were saying it traces back to Bill Clinton. It doesn't. It actually goes back to Richard Nixon. You know, Watergate. And you know all those things that are worse than Watergate today. Everything is worse than Watergate today. But it really did begin. The Democrats did start all of this with Nixon. And it was ridiculous because Nixon's offenses were nothing compared to what had been done by his predecessors who were Democrats. But they really wanted to oust him because he was an effective and pretty tough president. So we've never done this. We've never removed a president from office through impeachment. And we've certainly never removed a president from office after he left office through impeachment. That's not even how impeachment works. But so McConnell's trying to push it off and push it off and push it off. I don't think this is about helping Trump. I think this is about gaining leverage. Okay? I think this is about saying, look, Democrats, you're going to have this big ambitious agenda. And I right now could give you your conviction. I could keep Trump out of running for office again, or maybe I couldn't. Maybe I could stand in the way. What do you want? What do you want to do? I think Mitch McConnell's a wheeler and dealer. I don't think he has any special love for Trump. And I think they're going to drag this out as leverage, which one can expect. But if they do convict Trump, I don't even know what it means to convict Trump after he's left office. That will make this problem so, so much worse. And we're not going to win that argument through concession. We're not going to win this battle by playing nice. They don't want to play nice with us. We need to get tougher. We need to assert ourselves. We need to stand up with greater courage. You know, Joe Biden, one of the most disgusting aspects of his presidency, and it's already pretty disgusting, is that he blasphemes his religion. He uses his religion blasphemously to justify major, major evils, such as abortion and trying to get taxpayers to fund abortion, that sort of thing, and questions of gender and everything else. So the USCCB, the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops, usually a very weak organization, they came out under Archbishop Jose Gomez, who I really like, actually. I think he's a good guy. He came out and he criticized President Biden. And he said, you know, this is really bad. And he said all these nice things about Biden, but then he said, I must point out that our new president has pledged to pursue certain policies that would advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity, most seriously in the areas of abortion, but also contraception, marriage, gender, and the liberty of the church. Now, Cardinal Supich, who some people who are very rude have called Cardinal Cupcake, it's very rude. Supich and other corrupt people in the Catholic Church have pushed back on this, said, how dare you stand up for unborn babies? Let them all die. Let Biden pursue his murderous agenda unimpeded. Come on, how dare you? I love that Gomez stood up here, Archbishop Gomez. I wish that the bishops would stand up even further. Joe Biden must be excommunicated. He is in a state of grave mortal sin. Excommunication is not just a punishment. It's something that one does out of compassion to right the guy's soul and to right the souls of the flock, because not just of the grave sin of supporting abortion, but the grave sin of scandal, which is being incurred. But as long as we refuse to assert ourselves, as long as we refuse to have courage, the worst elements of society are going to be liberated, and it's going to be much more difficult to rein them back in.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You know, we just crossed 400,000 subscribers. Be sure to check out RIP to the funniest commander in tweets, which are the funniest tweets from Trump's presidency. We put this out there as a sort of in memoriam to Trump's Twitter account, not even just to the administration, but the tweets. They're really, really tremendous. Last night, I walked in to sweet little Lisa because I was reading through some of Trump's tweets on Diet Coke. And one of them I loved when he was attacking Diet Coke. He went out and he said, you know, Coca-Cola is very angry with me because of my comments on Diet Coke. That's okay. I'll still keep drinking that garbage. That is such a brilliant, so complex, so bizarre. And there were so many wonderful tweets like that. So go check it out. Go check out Daily Wire's first movie, Run, Hide, Fight. You know, we're in the entertainment game now. We got our first movie out. The critics hate it and the audience loves it. It's got like a 2% critics on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's got like a 98% audience score because the movie's not politically correct and it's not, you know, really nice and liberal and everything. So go check it out. You can get 25% off if you use promo code RHF to become a Daily Wire member. That is RHF for 25% off. We will be right back with the mailbag. All right. First question from Keith. Dear Michael, in several of your shows, you've said reality will always reassert itself. Our culture and politics seem to careen further left for the next 4 years under Biden's administration. In your opinion, what will be the first ways or areas in which reality will begin to reassert itself against the insanity of the left? And how far will our country and culture have to sink before that happens? Well, we are seeing it reassert itself in one way, and it's this issue we were just talking about today. The girls' bathrooms thing really seems to be an important issue and a wedge issue. When I say a wedge issue, I mean it drives a wedge between our political opponents. You've got the left broad. Let's say on the left you've got feminists and you've got these gender ideologues, right? These kind of the transgenderists. They're leftists, right? Feminists included. They're leftists. We're conservatives. But this issue of the transgender bathrooms splits the left. It drives a wedge in between them, between the feminists who say, wait a second, girls ought to be able to have sports. Girls ought to be able to change in privacy. Girls ought to be able to have their own bathrooms. This is what we've been fighting for decades. And the transgenderists who say there's no such thing as girls, honey. You know, men can define femininity, and actually being a woman is nothing more than slapping on some lipstick and a pair of stilettos. And then the feminists saying, what? How dare you? You can't reduce femininity to that. And then they sort of duke it out. And you see this in the battles between J.K. Rowling, famously, and other leftists. J.K. Rowling is what you'd call a trans-exclusive radical feminist. There's nothing radical about her view on gender. She's saying men and women are different, right? There's nothing radical at all about that. The radical view is that men and women are not different. So I do think that's one way in which reality will reassert itself. It is important to recall, though, that the conservative consolation is reality eventually reasserts itself, but it can take a while. You know, it can take a long time. French Revolution took a long time, okay? Lots of bad things can happen in the meantime. There's something I noticed. You know, conservatives will often talk about, and I'll talk about it on the show too, the kind of progressive utopian view of politics, that the arc of history bends toward justice, and we kind of make fun of that. And it's right to make fun of that because the view is preposterous. However, conservatives have an analogous view, right? Christians have a view. We think that history will end up in justice. It's just that it'll get a lot worse before then, in the end times, and then we'll have the second coming of Christ, and we'll have this wonderful new heaven and new earth, right? Progressivism is just, in so many ways, an aping of Christianity, an inversion of Christianity. We've talked about this many times on the show. Political correctness is an anti-standard. It's a new speech code to overthrow the old moral codes. And so you're seeing these analogous sorts of things. I mean, but when we say reality reasserts itself in the end, we're making a similar claim to, you know, the arc of history bends toward justice. But even for the progressives, when they say the arc of history bends toward justice, well, it might take a long time, right? And they talk about that as well. So I think it is important to recognize the similarities between our views. The difference is that theirs is a kind of mirror image, you know, inversion of the true principle and the true moral order. From Matthew, future press secretary Knowles, will Daily Wire hire a White House reporter for the Daily Wire to ask the challenging questions of the Biden administration? You know, to compete with mainstream media and actually get real reporting. I recommend Kayleigh McEnany. Yeah, she would be pretty great. Oh my gosh, could you imagine if we sent Kayleigh in as the White House reporter asking questions of Jen Psaki, who appears to have some whistling going on between the ears, just not quite up to the job in the way that her predecessors in the Trump administration were. That'd be great. I can't imagine Biden would ever let us in. I just don't see that happening. Conservatives always take questions from these leftist reporters, but the left does not usually take questions of right-wing reporters. Very, very few. One exception might be Peter Doocy. Peter Doocy from Fox News actually does very good work and has needled Joe Biden for a long time. But that's it. You know, they'll let the one, maybe one outlet out, which isn't even all that conservative these days. I don't think they would let someone who's strongly conservative, really, into the room. So sadly, I think we're going to get a whole lot more questions of, so what color drapes does Joe want in the Oval Office? Wow, what a fascinating question. From Daniel, Michael, I've noticed that you like to use the phrase the Protestant Revolution to describe what they call the Reformation. But a revolution implies the overthrow of a whole system, such as the French or Russian revolutions. As it is inaccurate to term the American separation from Britain a revolution, right, because it didn't overthrow Great Britain, likewise, it seems inaccurate to call the separation of the Protestants from the Roman Church a revolution. The Church has not been overthrown, but a schism has occurred. A Roman Catholic friend of mine calls it the Protestant schism, and that seems a more appropriate description. What do you think? I agree with that. I think as a matter of religion and theology, Protestant schism is more precise, just like you talk about the Great Schism between the East and the West, right, that happened 1,000 years ago. However, I still prefer, for the purposes of this show, I still prefer the term Protestant Revolution, because putting religion aside, that certainly the various Protestant denominations didn't overthrow the Catholic Church, but as a political matter, they did. As a political matter, the Protestants won. The Protestant Revolution, and by the way, I tend to view the Protestant, whether you call it the Protestant, I mean, it wasn't a Reformation in the sense that it didn't reform the church. It just created another church. So it's, I really don't use the term Reformation, but whether you want to call it a schism or a revolution or whatever, as a political matter, the Protestants won. You know, what happened out of the Protestant Revolution was you had all of these kind of wars of religion. You had the 30 Years' War. And then the end of the 30 Years' War was the Peace of Westphalia, which in 1648 established our system of nation states. The world order as we know it today was a product directly of the Protestant Revolution. You would not have this system of nation states without it. And so as a result, I do consider that to be a revolution. And I don't, who knows what the next world order will be? You know, we always hear this term, the new world order, a one world government, kind of going back to an empire model, but not a Christian empire. It's like some kind of weird secular atheist empire, liberal empire, whatever. I just mean until there is another world order, you know, that revolution defines our political world. And so I do prefer that term. But I think precisely as a religious matter, yes, it is a schism. From Mitchell, dear Mr. Knowles, I am a 16-year-old writing from St. Paul, Minnesota. Believe it or not, there are conservatives there. I was recently having a discussion with a friend, and he proposed getting rid of the two-party system because it seemed to result in the two sides hating each other. However, we struggled to find a system to replace it. Would you recommend getting rid of the two-party system? If so, what would you recommend replacing it with? No, I would not get rid of it. I'm a great defender of the two-party system. The two-party system is good. If you have 20 different parties, like they have in many European countries, you have usually chaos and governments collapsing, and sometimes you have radical parties empowered because more mainstream parties kind of split the more mainstream vote, and the radicals can kind of get in there sometimes. So I don't like that at all. If you're saying we need to get rid of party politics altogether, that's just not going to happen. We've had a two-party system in this country from the very beginning. We had this Washington administration, which was nonpartisan, theoretically, but it was Federalist, right? It leaned Federalist. And you then had the Federalists, and you had then the Jeffersonian Republican Democrats, right? Then you had other parties that cropped up in the wake. Andrew Jackson founded the Democratic Party. You had the Whig Party. You had Abraham Lincoln sort of found the Republican Party as the first Republican president, not the first Republican nominee, but, you know, that party is founded in 1854, first national convention's 1856, first president is 1860. Then you've had those two parties ever since then. We might have a new party. I'm fine with that. I don't have any particular love for the Republican Party, and I certainly don't have affection for the Democratic Party. But I think we ought to probably keep, we will keep the party system, and I hope we keep the two-party system for the purposes of having any kind of moderation or continuity in our politics. From Brendan, dear he who turns the COFEFE up to 11, how palatable would the idea be of admitting Puerto Rico as a state alongside rural parts of Northern California and Eastern Oregon to make the state of Jefferson a proposed Pacific state? States were admitted as pairs of free and slave states to maintain the balance of political power previously in our history. Do you think the shared desire to grant statehood to these areas, along with the resulting maintained balance of political power, would make this idea possible or even preferable for both sides of the political aisle? Could you please explain, too, why Puerto Rico would be a lock for two Democratic senators with no chance of Republicans winning either seat? Thanks. Well, if you just look at the political preferences of Puerto Ricans, it's left wing. So I'm not saying that couldn't change over time, but it would be a practical matter. It would be a lock if Puerto Rico were admitted as a state. I don't like the idea of admitting Puerto Rico along with, I don't know, the proposed state of Jefferson or something. One, because you'd have a lot of trouble if you started carving up U.S. states. Separations do not happen peacefully. Separations of political territories into new political territories have never happened peacefully, as far as I can tell, in this country, or in the world, rather. Very, very rarely. So you'd be hard-pressed to do that, I think. It would be, as a practical matter, no state is going to want to let itself be cracked up. And what would the purpose be? If you're going to maintain the balance of power, why admit Puerto Rico as a state? I don't even see the argument for admitting Puerto Rico as a state. If you could present a compelling argument for why it would be advantageous to the country to admit Puerto Rico as a state, then I guess we could talk about how to do it and maintain the balance of power. But even that idea of a compromise, by the way, reminds us of the 1850s, which you're talking about in the mid-19th century, states were admitted, one slave, one free, to maintain the balance of power. That got us a civil war. I do not look to the 1850s as my lodestar when I'm trying to craft politics. And I fear that we're in a situation that has some parallels to the 1850s. And if you were to get into a situation where you're now admitting one Democratic state and one Republican state, and you're banking on those states remaining that way to maintain the balance of power, that is a scary situation to be in. And I don't want to further provoke civil strife. From Ruby, Michael, I want to buy a Bible and am overwhelmed with the number of options. I have done some research and I narrowed it down to the NIV, the NET, and the RSV Bible. Do not buy the NIV. First thought. Any word of advice would be appreciated. Love your show. Thanks for all that you do. Yes, I would recommend... Obviously, I would recommend a Catholic Bible. So, you get the Deuterocanonical books. It's a little bit longer. The Deuterocanonical books are the books that were taken out after the Protestant Revolution. But you get some extra books, get more bang for your buck in that way, and I suspect more wisdom. If you were going to get a Catholic Bible, I would recommend the RSVCE, the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition, or better yet, the Douay-Rheims, which is one of the best Bible translations ever in history. If you don't want to do that, if that's a little too mackerel snapping for your speed, then I would recommend getting the ESV for readability is a good Protestant Bible, and the KJV is the most beautiful. I mean, that's just one of the greatest works of literature ever produced in the English language. I suppose a little less so for readability, but it's still so beautiful. So maybe if you're going to buy a Protestant Bible, I'd buy both of those, ESV and KJV. And I guess same thing is true for Catholic Bible. If you're going to buy a Catholic Bible in English, maybe buy the RSVCE and the Douay-Rheims. sorry that I just spent more of your money for you. But I think it's good to have both, with the sort of heightened, beautiful language and the readability. From Gavin. Hi, Michael. Love the show. In the past, you've criticized soccer and other sports as un-American and referenced boxing as a superior alternative. As someone who practices and fights in several combat sports, I agree. However, I'm also a practicing Catholic and have often heard sports like boxing deemed immoral, which is why, though I practice striking sports such as boxing, I only compete in grappling competitions like wrestling. What is your opinion on the morality of training and or competing in mixed martial arts? Is it wrong to watch the UFC? Thanks. Hashtag came for Ben, stayed for Knowles. I don't think it's wrong. No. I mean, you know, I'm coming from a perspective, though, where my priest is a boxer. Okay. So he's not a professional boxer, obviously, but he's boxed. So I think it is a beautiful sport, right? It is sort of the beautiful sport. And soccer is not the beautiful sport, though that is a popular idea. It's kind of soft, you know, it's kind of boring. It's foreign. You just don't like it. They're trying to import it into America, but it should not be imported. We import enough bad ideas and bad things into America. We should do tough, good old American sports. And the more it drives the rest of the world crazy, the better, as far as I'm concerned. That to me is the marker of how you know that it is a good sport. I don't think people should go out there and start shiving each other and killing each other in the ring. But some good combat, I think, is perfectly in keeping with the great tradition of sports. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. See you next week. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the other Daily Wire podcasts, including The Ben Shapiro Show, The Andrew Klavan Show, and The Matt Walsh Show. The Michael Knowles Show is produced by Ben Davies. Executive producer, Jeremy Bory. Our technical director is Austin Stevens. Supervising producers, Mathis Glover and Robert Sterling. Production manager, Pavel Vidovsky. Editor and associate producer, Danny D'Amico. Audio mixer, Mike Coromina. Hair and makeup by Nika Geneva. And production coordinator, McKenna Waters. The Michael Knowles Show is a Daily Wire production. Copyright Daily Wire 2021.
Hey, everybody, this is Andrew Klavan, host of The Andrew Klavan Show. You know, some people are depressed because the Republic is collapsing, the end of days is approaching, and the moon's turned to blood. But on The Andrew Klavan Show, that's where the fun just gets started. So come on over to The Andrew Klavan Show and laugh your way through the fall of the Republic with me, Andrew Klavan.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.